Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's Jason Manford and Steve Edge on Absolute Radio. Hope you are very well this Sunday morning. I'm up in Tier 3.
What's it like, Tier 3? Good?
Tier 3, it's like a barren wilderness.
Is
it? Post-apocalyptic world. It's like Mad Max up here now, near Winslow.
Are you above the clouds or below the clouds?
We're very much below the clouds.
Oh, yeah. Dark clouds.
Very dark.
Well,
very
it's Manchester,
dark.
Isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're always dark. and do you know what?
Somebody just doing something.
Oh, what's
in
going
garden.
On behind you there?
There's somebody in the
next door to a dentist.
Yeah, he's got a massive, like a whale. He's having
a whale's tooth.
He's having a filling done. Oh, that is loud, isn't it?
That's anyway, going to be fun for the next three hours.
Yep, that's nice, yeah.
You can't just go and have a word and just stand to knock it on the head for a bit.
3 houses away, and they're sort of stood on the roof staring at me. So I better not. They look quite big.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we'll just try and ignore it. Yeah. I mean, it won't be constant, I imagine.
No.
You've got to take a break at some point.
We hope.
We found the hardest working builder in the UK who never takes a break. Brilliant. How have you been anyway? How have you been over in Tier 2?
All right in Tier 2, but somebody at my son's school tested positive for coronavirus, one of the little ones.
Yeah.
So my son's in quarantine for 14 days.
Oh, mate.
So,
my thoughts are with you.
I know. Quarantine. I mean, it's, each time, you know, like when we all did lockdown, we all learnt something. And then I got put in quarantine. I thought, well, I've done lockdown, but it's different because you can't go out in quarantine. Now I'm in quarantine with someone else. So I'm not in quarantine, but I can't leave him on his own.
No, of course not.
I can't go to the shop to get some. If he says, I want a croissant, I can't go to the shop with him because I can't take him out.
He shouldn't be saying that, Steve.
He does say that. He was playing with a kid in a park the other day, pretending to play a shop, and the little kid went, have you got any mushy peas? He went, no, we're not got no mushy peas. We got edamame beans. And I thought, oh, come on, mate. Please.
Well, maybe this quarantine is a chance for you to teach him some working class traditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe this is your opportunity. Your wife's working.
Is the iPad working class?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go then. Yeah, definitely. I'm teaching some core values right here.
Yeah, well, my son's had the same situation where he was... I don't really understand it because I've still been allowed to go to work, but he's off.
Yeah, because he hasn't shown any symptoms. If he hasn't shown any symptoms, then he's up fine.
He's just off. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, we're into Tier 3 now. Mm-hmm. Andy Burnham fought the good fight. We're in Tier 3. But, you know, it is what it is, isn't it? It doesn't look that different. I'll be honest with you. The pubs are closing. And if they don't serve a substantial meal. But what's a substantial meal, Steve?
Well, I don't know.
We've all got different versions of it. If they go, right.
Pork scratchings?
They're like, right, pork scratchings.
Is that a substantial meal? Two bags of crisps.
Exactly. It just sounds a bit subjective, doesn't it?
If you put like scampi fries on a plate, that's a meal, plate, isn't it?
I think it needs at least more
substantial.
I think it has to have like scampi fries, and then like a pickled egg.
Yeah, that's a
substantial meal.
Substantial meal. Yeah, that's substantial meal.
It's just so not specific, is it?
No.
Like, substantial meal. That's someone's opinion. I sometimes... My wife sometimes makes dinner and it comes out and I think to myself, that is not a substantial meal.
No.
That's not enough food for a growing man.
No. There's too much jus on here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what the rules are. But anyway, that's us. We'll be here and we'll be keeping you entertained and playing some great tunes over the next 3 hours.
Matters.
So yeah, we've had to cancel like a load of things. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not giving it we're the real victims. We were going to go to the Scare Fest at Alton Towers.
Oh yeah,
can't go there now.
No, it's
obviously half term next week.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, so, it doesn't really matter. They all roll into one with me 14 days.
Of course,
14 days.
You just got 14 days stuck in now. Yeah. So we were going to do a bit of that. I love a bit of Alton Towers. It's my one of my favourite places. This will be the first Halloween that we've not gone.
Is it, do you think it's the best theme park?
Yeah, by a country mile.
I mean, I'm a Staffordshire lad, so I would say so. But, yeah. You know, I'm down here now and there's lots of big ones, you know, Chessington and stuff. But it's Alton Towers, isn't it?
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's Alton Towers. It's the only one that if I met an American and they said, hey, are there any good theme parks around here in the UK?
I heard there's a big one at Blackpool. What's that guy like?
The Blackpool one is great. Don't get me wrong. I don't know why I'm talking back in an American accent.
You do,
it's
don't
catching.
You? Just, you
it's
do.
Catching.
We've said this before. That's the most tiring thing about going to New York is you spend all your day going, should we go to the park? And you would go to the shop? And you go, I'm exhausted doing this voice. You can't help it. Let's get some muffage.
Does your wife enjoy it, though? Or does at some point does she go, can you stop?
No, she just stops speaking. I think she zones me out like a sort of Vietnam vet.
That's
just pretending none of this is happening.
I know. I'm the same. I'm the same. I'll go to Glasgow and I'll start doing a Glasgow accent. I'll be in Dublin. I start doing a Dublin accent. Like, God forbid, if we ever go to Bali, I'll be in trouble.
No, they're nice people, the Balinese. You'd be all right. They'd probably be fine with it. Just maybe like South Africa or something. Maybe they might not like it so much.
Yeah, I can't do that. It's a tough accent, the South African one, at the best of times.
Well, it's just as well.
Yes, true. So obviously Alton Towers used to do this like big Halloween thing and often take the kids to that. And so we'll be missing out on that this year. But also trying to find stuff to do. Like did I tell you I joined like a tennis league?
Oh, yeah, you said you'd join the local tennis club.
Yeah, yeah, so join the local tennis club.
You're that guy now from a 70s sitcom.
I'm off to the club, dear.
Social stand-in risen. I've joined the local tennis club. Oh, I see. And all the other people are going, oh, Manford's here. Hello, Jason. How's the pit?
That's me. So I'm at the tennis club. So I joined a league. Obviously, I'm not very good, so I'm in like the bottom tier. I'm actually in the second to bottom tier, so there is a worse tier somewhere than me. And anyway, we played a couple of games, got battered, and then got this really long message this morning. Apparently we can still play in the tennis league against other people in this area, but if they live in Cheshire and not Cheshire East and not Greater Manchester, then we can't play each other. So tier 3 can't play tier 2, but tier 2 can play tier 2, and tier 3 can play tier 3, but they can't play each other.
That's
very confusing. But what's the rules? Why is that a rule? It's a weird rule.
That's a rule. You can play tennis with people in your tier. I mean, I haven't heard that at the end of a list of things you can do. But you can also play tennis. If you are in a tennis club, you can play tennis with people in the same tier as you.
Okay. It doesn't make any sense. I thought we've got a football team and we've been playing that on a Friday. I thought that'd be the first thing to go. No, that's still happening.
But
that's still a thing you're allowed to do. But if anyone lives out of tier 2... Then
they wouldn't be in your league, though, technically, would they?
They wouldn't be in our league, no, that's fair. But I don't understand it. I mean, you're sort of wearing your mask in the, you know, side of the pitch, ready to go on, social distancing, and you get on the pitch. I mean, to be fair, I am very much social distancing from the ball. Can't get near it.
Yeah, I've been doing that for years.
So, I mean, no, there's no chance of me catching anything, but... Yeah, it's pretty
strange.
Confusing out there. Pretty confusing. So we understand that people are a little bit confused by it all. So hopefully we'll be able to answer some of those questions, Steve. I think people, that's why they come to us, don't they?
Yeah, we know all the answers.
We know all the answers. And if we don't know them, we'll have them.
Jason Manford.
I've had a bit of an up and down week this week, Steve, if I'm honest.
What's happened?
Well... I was working this week. I did three like full days working, and I mean, and full like proper full days, like what a regular working person would do. You know, 9 to 6, like a full day.
Yeah.
Three of them off the bounce, and one in Media City here in Salford, and then the other two down in London. And I've got to tell you, I was absolutely shattered.
Oh, he's a bit out of shape.
Yeah, I'm like off. A bit out. Yeah, my stamina's gone.
Yeah.
After being off for so long.
What was it, sort of stand-up presenting or?
I did Cracker Jack on Monday.
So you were like a guest, what were you doing, just sort of playing along and...
Yeah, I was a guest on Media City, they're filming second series of Cracker Jack.
Yeah, but that's like kids' show, isn't it? That's high energy. That would...
high energy.
It?
You can't just phone that in.
No, you can't. Cracker Jack.
No, and it's like, it's one of them as well where you... So I saw the first series. My kids loved it. It's on iPlayer if you fancy watching something. It's actually really funny, and I really enjoyed it. And and so we watched the first series, and then I sort of bumped into the host, Sam and Mark, at something or other. And I said, oh, you know what? If they're doing a second series and you're looking for guests and that, then give us a shout because my kids would love that. So I've not told my kids that I've done it.
Oh, good. That's
I'm hoping just to watch the second series and then I just crop up, you know.
Yeah.
And but yeah, then obviously then a pandemic happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they sort of went, oh, are you still up for doing it? And I, my mood's changed, if I'm honest.
Yeah, slightly, yeah.
So I was like, yeah, no, I'm up for it. So it did feel a bit odd dancing around. I got chased by a lobster at one point.
Well, that will wear you out. That will wear
yeah,
you out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I did actually, like, they were like, right, can you run around the studio? I was like, yeah, sure. Did it twice. I got a stitch. I mean, I'm
You've
so
got that now, haven't you, lads? Come on, lads. You must have that in the can by now. I don't have to do that again, do I? I don't think you'll get better than that first take. I was really, I had lobster fear in my eyes, real lobster fear.
So anyway, yeah, I did that on Monday, and but that's a good laugh actually. It's good. You must have been a Crackerjack viewer back in the day.
Yeah, it was Stu Francis then, though, wasn't it? Crush a Grape and all that. Yeah, but I do remember it. Yeah, yeah, it was lots of fun, lots of screaming
it's weird.
Kids. The one that I loved when I was a kid. I'm thinking about if my son watched that one now, I'd be like, turn it down a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's loud.
Yeah, definitely. But it's funny, isn't it? Because it depends who you are, like the age you are, on what your
Who's
show
your
was. So I did not... Crackerjack was not my era.
No, it wasn't
actually.
My... Was it before you, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's before me, ever so
I think
slightly.
There's a Crackerjack before me as well. There's a The big one was before me. Stu Francis, I think, is the 80s
right.
one. I think it's a real big 70s thing.
I think Going Live was my first Saturday morning.
Going Live, yeah.
Was that the one with Schofield and Sarah... No, with Sarah Green and...
Sort of. Mike Smith?
Mike Smith, not I feel right. like it was that, was it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That was my first
Going
one,
Live, yeah.
Going Live. Then I remember Phil Schofield in a... Was that Saturday morning? I always get mixed up between...
No, I think
sort of
the
tea time.
Broom Cupboard. Yeah, that, and I think Crackerjack was always a team time show. It wasn't a Saturday morning.
Yeah, it was 5 to 6 or something.
That was
your...
When obviously, I'm the Tiswas Swap Shop generation. So
oh, of course you
Tiswas,
are. That Saturday
Tiswas
morning,
all the way in our house because we were ITV scumbags, not BBC.
Yeah, yeah, we were ITV. Those kids who made all the Blue Peter stuff.
I know.
Never
I mean,
once.
I'm not having a go at Blue Peter because it's I'm sure it's amazing.
It's an institution.
From I was all ITV, children's ITV and everything.
Yeah, same.
And every now and again I'd flick over to BBC just to see if Grange Hill was on. And it's on. It was on the same time as Blue Peter.
How disappointing
and
then, was that?
And I go, oh, it's not on today. Right, let's watch Blockbusters.
If you're 9 years old choosing Blockbusters over Blue Peter.
I know, but they had little teddies and everything, did they?
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. Hey, I've just gone on line, Steve.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the top 10 children's TV shows of all time.
Oh,
as,
okay. Yeah.
As voted for by a stellar panel of experts.
Okay.
To cast their votes, right? Let's see how many of these. Well, let's do the top 20, right? Let's see how many of these you actually saw, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And which, I mean, some of them were before your time, some of them. Will be before mine. The Borrowers. Was that something? That was 92. I think that was a bit late for you.
It's after me, yeah. It's after
I was 11, so I definitely remember watching that. And also, we actually had a friend in The Borrowers, Rebecca Callard. Do you know Rebecca Callard?
Oh, right, yeah.
Brilliant. So she was in that. What about How? That's coming back soon, actually. I saw someone the other day. You remember How?
How, yeah. Nice. How and How To. And there was Gaz Top Jones, and he used to bet 20p. Yeah. I've got 20p here. If you can stand on 6 eggs without them breaking. He used to do stuff like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Fred Dinage, who weirdly is the main sort of like source of knowledge of the history of the craze, which wouldn't have put that
thing.
Yeah, he's got, every now and again, if you go like deep into the Sky Planner, there'll be a documentary called The Craze with Fred Dinage. And he's going, in this East London pub. So yeah, he's you wouldn't, from that, from a man who used to go, how? Which, yeah, because
yeah,
again, when he first started, How, I remember How Two more. How was, there was a guy dressed as a sort of Native American, sort of Red Indian sort of thing.
Wow.
Used to do
maybe
a How.
Maybe he answered all their questions. How maybe. Do you get rid of bodies? And then he was like, feed them
well,
to pigs.
The best, I'll give you 20p if you can dispose of this body.
It's taken a turn, old How.
Yeah, it has. They should bring it back. I miss Gaz Top.
Yeah,
Jones.
I like Gaz Top.
Lovely.
Where's he gone now?
I don't know.
What's he up
He's probably Banksy, like Buchanan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
It's probably part of the same ring.
The Box of Delights, I don't know what that was. That was on BBC. I don't remember that. Jack and Ori, obviously an institution.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know,
BBC, never... though, innit? Again, never really watched it.
Biker Groove. I watched that. I used to watch
I didn't really, because it's BBC. But yeah, I'm aware of Biker Groove. It's sort of just a little bit after my time, I think.
Yeah, 1989.
A bit too old to be watching kids. I was 16.
Yeah.
I was probably a bit too old to be watching, you know.
Biker Groove. I used to love it. I used to love it. I love
Spooky
it.
Man.
Yeah, Spooky. And obviously you got Ant and Dec in there. Oh, no.
My eyes.
You're
shut
pain in me eyes. Oh,
yeah,
that was
all
great.
That, yeah. Happy days.
That's the recap of that. Animal Magic. I mean, that was, again, that was a bit before my time.
A lot before everyone's time, I think. That's sort of early 70s, I think.
SMTV, that was a bit after my time. That was Ant and Dec. That was their big thing when it would cat deal.
Oh, yeah. Before, like CD UK and stuff like that.
That's it. Rent-A-Ghost.
Donkey Donkey. Yeah, remember Rent? It is my time. Don't know. It is my time, but again, BBC, so I didn't really watch it. I don't really regret. Banana Man was the only one I think I would quite have liked.
When Eric beats a banana.
Went I had Dramarama and, you know, all sorts. Murphy's Mob. Everywhere you go, everything you see. Great joke.
I love it. I used to love that. I used to love Banana Man.
Yeah,
why is he not in the X-Men mansion?
I don't know. Does he have to eat a banana to become Banana Man?
I don't know, but you think he should be allowed in with the rest of the X-Men. Is he one of the... Is it Marvel?
Is he Marvel Universe?
I want to see an origin film of Banana Man. You know,
and
like
Super
Batman
Ted.
Begins.
And Super Ted, maybe. Maybe you could have the two of them. And Danger Mouse. Oh, here we go. Let's just create a whole new Guardians of the Galaxy with kids. The two, the one from Puddle Lane, was it? No, Rosie and Jim. Rosie and Jim, they can be in there.
Yeah,
they just
be in it.
They're getaway drivers, but on a really slow barge.
Yeah, I like it.
So you got them. And then you've got, let's pitch this. And Netflix, have they still heard nothing back from Magpie and Fox?
No,
still,
I think Magpie and Fox is...
still furloughed.
We'll put it in a draw.
It'll be, we'll send them this and this will pique their interest. Don't you worry.
Exactly. Banana Man is the start of the new Avengers.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
Have a little reminisce, aren't we, Steve?
Yeah, going back through... Kids TV.
Started talking about Kids TV. I did Cracker Jack this week, recorded Cracker Jack. So I was having a little look through some of the top British kids shows that we used to watch. The top 10 goes like this. Number 10 is Cracker Jack. It's Friday. It's 5 to 5. That was them. And obviously that's back now. It's on iPlayer as well. Definitely catch that first series if you've got kids. Play School was 9. I guess I would have watched Play School.
Isn't it? There was nothing else on, was there? I think we would have been plonked in front of that.
Going Live.
Yeah, that's the...
That was Phil Schofield and Sarah Green, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely remember that. That was Trevor and Simon as well. Swing Your Pants.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Swing Your Pants and all that, yeah, yeah.
Emma Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gordon the Gopher, that was when he became a sort of cult status. Live and Kicking. That was, again, I think I would have watched that as well, a bit of Live and Kicking. I would have been about 12, I guess.
What's Live and Kicking? Ring the bell.
Live and Kicking was the one after that, yeah. So that would have been
Zoe
Ball, Jamie Peterson, Emma Forbes, Andy Peters.
There's one on ITV called Ghost Train or something like that. Was it called Ghost Train? That was Gaz Top again and Gilbert the Alien.
I'm going to have to find out where Gaz Top has gone. I need to Google it because I'm worried about him, actually. I'm actually a bit worried.
I think he married the Games presenter
Gareth
woman.
Jones.
Magenta.
Also known as Gaz Top. He's a Welsh TV presenter. How To and Get Fresh is big.
That's the one I was thinking of. Get Fresh at the Week. At the Week. Getting showing out.
He says he was on Pointless Celebrities in 2015.
Yeah. Who's he married to?
It doesn't say on here. Oh, with partner Violet Berlin.
Violet Berlin. Yeah, she used to do sort of computer... She was...
Computer games, actually.
Computer games
and
stuff, yeah.
That's it. But yeah, I think he's been a bit quiet really. Recently,
20p's. No 20p's left.
Yeah, we need to.
That's what's happened.
We need Gaz Top back. Right, here's the top five. Right, so we've
got
Multicoloured Swap Shop was 5. Tiswas was 4.
Yeah.
News Round was 3.
Get off. No way. The only thing good about News Round, if you got a pencil, I'll find a pencil. You could sort of tap it on your teeth and you could do the news round. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it used to sound like. It was meant to be like a teleprinter coming in or something. No, not, no way. No one's gone, oh, I miss news round. No, I mean, it's but good, yeah, fine.
Maybe this is
it's like choosing the news as your favourite TV programme.
I think
what's your
favourite
programme ever, TV programme? I like the news at 10. I was more of a news at 1 sort of minute. No, no.
Not having it.
No.
Number two is Grange Hill. Absolutely well deserves to be there. Phil Redmond's brilliant kids drama. Number one, you will be pleased to know, is Blue Peter.
Oh, no.
You're not having it, are you?
That's, no, I'd swap those around. I'll give Grange Hill top tiers while second. No.
Absolutely not. Yeah, news
this
round.
This is like novel by the Russians, this poll. Or the BBC. The top three are all BBC.
Matters. Has your boy got a favourite sort of TV person yet, or are they? Is it still mainly?
No, it's just Thomas and Ricky Zoom and people like that.
Yeah, so mine, obviously mine are a bit older now, and they've started to like real people. Although weirdly, the first person they really loved on the television was Barry Scott from the Cillit Bank adverts.
Well, he's very likeable.
Yeah, but it was very odd.
A lot of energy. He's clean.
He must have been on the adverts on Nick Jr. or something, sort of 5 years ago.
Really?
They loved him. And they would say,
weird slot for them to choose.
Just I guess
right in between My Little Pony and Sylvania Families. Still it bang.
I guess they're just thinking there's a lot of parents out.
Yeah, watching, going, watching. Oh, that's right, I should clean this mess up while they're watching this rubbish. Yeah,
rather than sitting with them. But my kid's favourite person now on the television is an actress called Zendaya.
Right.
Who you might not recognise straight away, because obviously we're of a different age, but Zendaya is, she was MJ in Spider-Man Far From Home. She's also in The Greatest Showman.
Okay.
And and she's, the show they love is on Disney Plus actually, called Casey Undercover, and that's their favourite thing that she does. But yeah, Greatest Showman they love, and that as well. They love them all, right? She's also in a brilliant show on Amazon. I'm not like an agent or anything, but she's also in a brilliant show on Amazon called Euphoria, which is not for children, very much not for children. It's crikey, it's brilliant, but it's
not for kids.
It's not for the faint-hearted, yeah. Anyway, the reason I bring her up is because I once accidentally said her name wrong, and it annoyed my kids so much now that I call her a different name every time.
Oh, right. Just for fun.
To deliberately annoy. Yeah, at the moment, I call her Zebedee. So I say, that programme's on with Zebedee. And they say, Zendaya! Like, they hate it.
Yeah, yeah. Big fans.
Yeah. And I sort of thought to myself, I think this happens a lot. I've noticed myself doing it a lot. Like, you find something that your kids love and deliberately mispronounce it just to annoy them.
Yeah.
So I go Zebedee for Zendaya. Billie Eilish, I've been calling her that for a while.
Billie Eilish, that's good.
Billie Eilish, yeah. They absolutely hate it. Like, it really winds them up. I don't know why it makes me want to do it more.
Yeah.
Why do I love winding my own kids up so much?
Well, it's something different, isn't it? Something to do.
Yeah, I think it is just something to do. And also, they've wound me up a lot over the years, so.
It's just revenge, isn't it?
And it's the only thing that you can, you know, you can't get in trouble for it as well. It's not like, you know, if they're in Childline, they're not going to pop over, are they? Because you said Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish, no. No, it's not 999, what's your emergency, is it?
I don't
think so.
Is
this patient breathing? Yes, just call them Billie Eilish. Okay, we're on our way.
Yeah, so there's a few things like that I quite like. Okay, so I did ask on social media if anybody else does this. Somebody says that Jenny says their mum calls Ed Sheeran Egg Sheridan.
That's good. That's
Egg
good.
Sheridan, but not even on purpose. Like, she says, I'd like to say it's on purpose, but it just isn't. She's just really bad.
She just can't. The name just doesn't tick in her head.
Egg Sheridan. I love that.
Egg Sheridan.
Sammy Bell deliberately calls TikTok Tic Tac. That's good.
I think I've done that. Not even as a joke.
Just as an old man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, little Tic Tac, little sweets. Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Different thing.
David Rogers calls Shawn Mendes John Menzies.
That's very good. Because John Menzies doesn't even exist anymore.
Doesn't even exist.
That's right. It's a reference that nobody will even get.
John Menzies for Shawn Mendes. I love it. And there's just something about deliberately winding your kids up that will always be funny. Sunday morning.
music matters.
Dan Ashley mentioned on Facebook, I've been reading the Harry Potter books to my son, and I have called him Barry Trotter the whole way through. He thinks I'm an idiot, okay. But it does amuse me.
Yeah, just giggling to himself.
Just to himself, yeah.
Coming downstairs, my wife's making a tea. What are you laughing at? I've just been doing the Barry Trotter thing for 20 minutes, man. All right, still doing that, yeah.
It must be harder to remember to call him Barry Trotter than read Harry Potter.
Because it says Harry Potter in front of you on the text, and you're just changing it.
Caroline says, my kid is into some singing duo called Max and Harvey. I delighted in always calling them Max and Paddy, then singing them the opening of the show. Robert Ashdown says, my 12-year-old daughter's favourite YouTuber is called Dream. I like to call him D-Ream. She doesn't find it anywhere near as funny as I do, but I'm very proud of myself. This is what I like. I like this. I love it when it's on purpose as well. Like Amy Dawes says, my nan used to say seven down instead of seven up. We used to lose our minds. It's a kind of seven down.
Yeah.
I love it. I
just seven love down. Seven Somebody down. Should have done a sort of rip-off lemonade drink or
that
seven
should be like
down.
In Aldi, seven down.
Yeah. Seven down. Yeah.
Seven across. Do like a full, full crossword.
Is it more, like Watsits, like own brand Watsits are called like Thingamabobs. I think it sounds Thingamabobs.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. Laura says, I call all the Paw Patrol dogs the wrong names and it drives my 5-year-old insane.
Yeah, that will do,
I refuse to acknowledge them all. Yeah, don't they? I call them Catch, Chief, Airy, Ricky, Dibble and Speedy. That's it.
Where's Marshall?
Don't know which one she's gone for there. Tom says, our daughter's best friend in year one's last name was Marsden. I often refer to them as Mars Bar. Again, it's always good if it's one of their mates as well. I quite like that.
Yeah.
KP says, my granddad used to love winding me up, asking me about my favourite boy band, Take This.
Yeah.
Face with tears of joy when he said it. Like it was the best joke in the world.
I've Take This got a new long player out of there.
Long player.
Well, he would have said that as well. The CDs now, granddad. Whatever. DVDs. No, they've
Stuart
not.
Stuart Collette says, I quite often refer to Fortnite as 2 weeks.
That's good.
That's a good one as well. And I mispronounce Mojang every time they play Minecraft and it comes up on TV. Drives them nuts. And Barbara says, I used to call McFly McWasp. Daughter used to hate it. Even on their calendars, posters and CDs, I would put a label over Fly and write Wasp.
Oh, that's dedication. Wow. That is dedication.
I love it. They're dedicated to winding your own kids up.
Record Breakers. Record Breakers should have been in that list.
Record Breakers, what's that?
Yeah, Roy Castle dedication. That's what you need. The kids' TV. That should have been in there. Reminded me.
In the kids' TV.
Definitely
list.
Should have been in there.
Record Breakers. What you need?
Robert Person Wadlow. Yeah. 8 foot.
Dedications. Nice, what you need? Yeah. Ah. Oh, they missed out.
Rubbish. Jason
Manford. Absolute Radio. Where real music
matters. Got something in front of me here, Steve. That I'm going to eat. Right.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me what it is and where I've been to get it.
Oh dear. I mean, right, let me wipe all that stuff away and then I'll start again. Okay,
right, have a listen.
Go.
Right, listen to this. So this is it. It's going in. It's only
I've literally just turned my ear to the microphone even though I've got headphones on.
Okay.
Right, it's crunchy.
But sweet
is that,
as well.
Is it like a Revel?
No, it's bigger than a Revel.
Bigger than a Revel.
Now it's stuck in my teeth.
I don't really know chocolate bars. This is the thing. Is it like a pack of a few of them?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a Revel.
But
not
they're all individually wrapped.
Oh. Is it a Lindt?
It's not a Lindt. We're not that posh.
Oh, is it a Ferrero Rocher?
Nope. And we're definitely not that posh.
No. I thought you'd been to the ambassador's reception.
Well, let me tell you, it was a little mini dime bar.
Oh, a little mini dime bar.
A little mini dime bar. So then my second part of the question is, where have I been to get them?
You've been to IKEA.
I've been to IKEA, that's right. Yeah. It's the only reason
sorry,
I go.
Mate. You're all right. How long were you there? How long was your tour of duty?
It was
how long were you?
It was,
were you only going in there for some plant pots?
Yeah.
4 hours I was in there.
It was... Basically, me and my wife not had an argument for a while, so we just thought, let's go to
IKEA. Might as well go here.
get out of
I've
system.
Discovered, you know, like when you know, like the arrows on the floor and you have to walk a certain route, but you know that you're only after this thing and you know it's in the last bit, the market bit.
Yeah.
And there's all those little cut-throughs. I think those cut-throughs actually add time rather than save time.
Oh, really?
Everyone goes, oh, let's just jump through there. Look, we're in kitchens. We missed out. 6 and 7. You're not. It ends up taking longer. They know what they're doing. To mess with your head.
They do. We went because we're having this house sorted out. And I told you, didn't I? I don't know if I said it on the radio or if it was just in a phone call, but we got somebody in to look at wardrobes, to sort wardrobes out in this. So it's like a walk-in wardrobe area. Thought, oh, that'll be nice. And this woman come back from, like, Cheshire Wardrobes or something. I don't know. I made that name up. But that sort of place, you know. Cheshire Bespoke Wardrobes.
Oh, yeah.
25 grand.
I mean,
how does she sleep at night?
Is this the one to Narnia? Has this got like an actual time thing that brings you out and there's a lion there?
I'd have no clothes to put in it. I'd have to sell all the clothes to be able to afford it.
You'd have one coat hanger that she might have like just put in there for demo. And you go,
absolutely bonkers.
Well, they look good. Sturdy.
So I went to IKEA and got the same amount of wardrobe space for...
And some dime bars.
And some dime bars for just over a grand. So I think I've won. I've won that.
Yeah.
And basically, I've made money, Anna.
I think so, yeah. You've lost time, but you've made money.
Yeah, basically, it cost me. And there was a point during that time we were in there, we also got them to sort our kitchen out as well, because that's another area of the world where people just make up prices for no reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because you don't know how much a hat, 24 randalls cost.
I'll just get a kitchen from IKEA, thank you.
And do you want aluminium or do you want brushed steel?
Just tell me
how much each one is.
We eat Deliveroo five nights a week. We don't even need a kitchen, if anything.
Yeah.
We need a parking space for the Deliveroo driver. Well, that's
a bigger
more...
recycling box. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need. So, we were in there for a good, I would say, not exaggerating, 5.5 hours.
Yeah, that's normal, though. And you know, no one thinks you're exaggerating. That's normal. No, that's an average amount of time. Exhausting.
It really was. It really was. But no, we got what we needed. And I got my big bag of dime bars and the slightly orange flavour as well because it's Christmas, nearly.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, pretty nice. Matters. Steve, I had a very odd moment this week where you know, I had a busy day. You know, I had a busy week, really. And like I said, my stamina was down because I've not worked for
And you've been
months.
To IKEA, so like that's taken out a lot of stamina as well.
Yeah, that's taken a lot of my spirit, actually. So I get home. It's been a long few days.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm getting, like, you know, you're getting texts off family, this stressful stuff going on, and you're not sure when, you know, about to go into tier three and...
Yeah, a lot going on. Stress.
And you think, how could this day couldn't get any worse.
Right.
And I get home and there's a big white box in the porch.
Yeah.
And it just says, wake up.
Wake
on
up?
On the top of it. Wake up, it said, on the top of the box. I thought, what's this? So I bring it in. I open it up and there's a little letter. It just says, and it's and inside, there's a mug that says "Wake up." Some coffee,
okay.
A box of a jar of Marmite, and a book.
What's the book?
Well, let's see if you can imagine who sent me this. Dear Jason, it says, "Here's a copy of my new book, Wake Up." Who do you think's got a book called Wake Up?
Wake Up.
Who wants people to wake up?
Like Chris Evans or something like that.
Worse. Could it even be worse? But
I don't even want to say another name now because you just said worse. And if I say anybody, they'll go, oh, that's a bit harsh, mate. Come on.
No, this is not harsh. This is what everybody thinks. I'm sending it to you because you're either in it or you need to wake up or both.
What?
It's quite aggressive, isn't it?
That's is it for harsh?
Not as bad as that.
So somewhere between Chris Evans and Nigel Farage. Okay.
So somewhere in the middle of them.
Okay.
It says, I'm also sending you some gifts to help you wake up because few problems can't be fixed with a mug of coffee and a dollop of Marmite.
Right.
Please read the book.
Who's this from?
Please read the book. Oh, wait. Please read the book if you get a chance, as I value your opinion.
David Icke.
worse. Please read the book if you get a chance. And if
Phil
you like
Collins?
It or hate it, not as bad. If you like it or hate it, then feel free to reflect your critique with a social media post. I can cope with sycophantic praise, acerbic humour or dismissive mockery, but your silence or disinterest will eat away at my soul. Wake up, essentially, a book about free speech, which has never seemed more important or more under threat.
Okay.
I mean, I would add free speech as long as you agree with what I say. Is what he this says, author is free speech as long as it's the same as what I say.
Yeah, and I know where you live.
Whatever our exactly, and he knows exactly where I live. Whatever our beliefs or political persuasion, we should all care about protecting our rights to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. The world's gone nuts, he says. Let's help fix it. Kind regards, Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan. He should have gone with Nutella, shouldn't he? Because he said the world's gone nuts and it's wake up. Whereas Marmite's more of a love it or hate it thing. That's not.
But that's him, isn't it? He's love it or hate it, isn't he?
Of course he is.
I think that's what he's gone for.
Yeah. I know which.
Because he's a bit Marmite, isn't he?
Yeah, I like Marmite.
So
okay.
So that's imagine that after a long day.
That's a long day, isn't it? Yeah.
You get a book and then it's a lot of pages.
Yeah.
Now I've got to read it now to see if I'm bloody in it.
Well,
I don't think I will be.
I mean, you can probably just summarise it, can't you? And just say, people are afraid to say this. I'm telling
you. I'll just go at random. I'm just going to open a page and see who's having a go at.
This could go really bad.
Okay, let's have a little look. Okay, I'm opening it up here. Okay, John Legend. He's had a go at John Legend there.
You won't like him.
On page 148.
Yeah.
Let's see. Professor Neil Ferguson, don't know who that is. No. Meghan Markle, obviously, he's obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Adele. This is all on the same page, by the way.
Is he for Adele or against Adele?
I don't know. I've not got into it yet.
No.
Tottenham Hotspur, Dominic Raab, Game of Thrones.
I'm exhausted. You need that coffee to get you through it.
Oh my goodness! Well, there you go. Okay. That is that's how it's out now.
Okay. Jason
Manford. I had something horrible happen to me this week, Steve, and I wouldn't want anyone else to go through it. What about yourself? You had anything good or bad happen?
I apart from being trapped with a 4-year-old for 14 days and can't leave the house. I was cooking. I was cutting a chili yesterday. And I sliced the end of my finger off a knife that was covered in sort of chili.
Oh, God.
So I had a double whammy of pain. I was merrily chopping. I'm a good chopper. And my wife said, shall I put this in the oven?
She said,
and
I turned
away for a second. Yeah. I turned away for a second. And that's, I mean, it was like a joke because the knives are so sharp. They say you never. Yeah. They say you never hurt yourself with a sharp knife, but I'd argue with that because I did.
I don't know anyone who said that. To be fair,
no, because your blunt knife, you know, it doesn't do the job, so you push harder and stuff like that. That's what they're saying. But if it's super sharp, you know, it should just cut through the onion or your fingertip or whatever's underneath.
Crikey!
So
is it going to grow back? Are you going to be all right?
It's sort of hanging off, and I'm hoping it's going to sort of join itself together, like in Terminator 2. Maybe that's going to happen.
Put a bit of newspaper on it like your dad did that time.
Yeah, that always works, doesn't it? Yeah. We didn't call it newspaper, but
No, I know we didn't, but we're on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my thing isn't as bad then.
Yeah, what's yours?
I went to the toilet before and I forgot my phone.
Oh, no, that's... Well, how long were you in there?
It was a sit-down one, but...
Yeah, no, but if you've not got your phone, what are you going to do in there?
Yeah, no, but that was a problem because then my wife was like, you were quick. And I was like, yeah, no. And then I had to tell her why. She was like, oh, I see. So the rest of the time, it's because you've brought your phone with you. I was like, yeah, of course. I was like, what are we going to do there? Sitting there and read the back of the Domestos bottle?
No.
I don't think so. So, yeah, that was my bad thing. But one good thing that's happened this week, Steve, is that we got an email off John Matthews.
Yes.
He's emailed us, says, hi, chaps. For your information, I've just edited Steve's Wikipedia page.
Oh, what's he done now?
No, he's not done anything horrible.
He's done a good thing.
He basically said, I've added, what he's done is he's added, he regularly joins Jason Manford on Manford's Sunday morning radio show on Absolute Radio.
Yeah.
He says, I know it's not necessarily something you would want people to know about, but it's not that bad. Cheers, John.
Well, that's nice of him to update. That's, nice that's what Wikipedia is, isn't it? People yeah. putting little things on. Lovely.
I don't
lovely.
Really know who the people are who
no,
who
I
do
don't
it,
know.
But...
It's sort of Wikipedia squirrels who just sort of go on there late at night and go, ooh, yeah. I don't know. You can I'm tell the sure. people who've done their own.
Oh, totally.
Oh, because you know, like actors that you've worked with, and you go, he's an amazingly versatile actor who's known for his, and you're like, hang on, what? Nah, yeah, he's not known for this, and he's not that versatile.
That's that. Yeah, that's not right. My one, some people do go in there every so often and change a few things. Mm. I think it's all fine at the moment. But yeah, on occasion, like somebody, at one point I was doing an interview. You know when someone's just searched your name on Wikipedia and then starts interviewing you with stuff?
With Jason, the knowledge that they've got, yeah.
It says here your first job was you were a ringer router for a one-armed window cleaner. I was like, mate, do you think that sounds like a real job? And you're a journalist. You're an actual journalist.
Well, he's got a vlog.
It says here, used to catch fish farts to put into spirit levels.
You did used to do that. It's true, isn't it? I put that
I did
on
do
there.
That, to be fair.
So remember, you got a city in guilds in that, didn't you?
It's hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag bin chat.
Hashtag bin chat.
Bin chat.
It is time for hashtag bin chat. Any bin news in your world, Steve?
No, it is actually bin day here today. And as we were sort of getting ready to go, you could hear them all outside, but we started recording just a bit after because it would have been quite nice to have the real sounds
The actual guys.
Of the Richmond bin men.
I had a couple of moments... bin-related moments this week. Firstly, as you know from last week, the big news is that my cleaner is off.
Oh, that's big news.
Yeah, she's still off. So I have had a whole week now of cleaning my own house.
Have you, though? Have you just been kicking stuff in the corner?
I mean, I just think, you know, she'll be back at some point, won't she?
Well, at some point, that spider will eat that crumb and then... You know, everybody's happy, aren't they?
Exactly. But no, I had to then go on the local council website to find out what days the bins were going out. And I forgot to do it anyway. And so this morning I had to drag them bins out in front of the bin men. Oh. Like, right, they were right there looking at me. I felt like such a loser.
Yeah, yeah.
And my other bin chat was the confidence of the bin men when it comes to where they're allowed to just leave the truck in the middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Whilst getting bins. Well, I was in London the other day in a cab and we were stuck behind this bin lorry. He could have sort of gone slightly to the right and there would have been a space for the cars to get through.
Busy,
but he was like, I'm not manoeuvring this lorry just so you can get to where you need. No. But it's the absolute confidence, like they know the bylaws or something, that they're allowed to just do that. It's kind of weird. And we've had some bin chat emails as well on jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. James Harrison says, Jason, Steve, I've recently moved into my new house and acquired three bins.
Three bins. Three bin Tony. Yeah.
Oh, three bins Harrison. Here he is.
Yeah, yeah.
They're placed in an L shape. And I wanted to stand on the rubbish in the centre bin to make more space. So I put my hand on the other two outer bins to lift myself up to get into the middle bin. Well, Steve,
like Brian Jacks. Yeah.
So when I grabbed the right bin, I didn't realise I was grabbing the handle. So when I lifted myself up, the bin went onto its two wheels, rolled out from under me, and I slammed onto the paving slabs. At 27 years old, I curled up into a ball surrounded by rubbish and made groaning noises as a way to soak up the pain while my girlfriend watched from the top window.
I mean, it's the start of a brilliant film, isn't it?
It's a lot
he sort of reevaluates his life. He's banged his head. He wakes up as a new person. He's gonna do all those things he never meant to do. Like, you know,
I don't think that doesn't seem like the person James Harrison is.
No, what did he do?
He sort of didn't mention what he did next to me.
That was it.
He just lay there.
Are you going to come in?
there's a lot of bingeries. A lot of bingeries out there. Laura Millington says, I once was putting out my wheelie bin. Instead of pulling it behind me, I was pushing it in front of me. What sort of maverick is Laura Millington?
No, you don't do that, because the flap could open. If you get the angle wrong, the flap could open, come towards you, and then all the stuff will spill out. I don't know what you're doing, Laura.
Well, Steve, let me tell you what happened.
Yeah?
You're almost correct, but you didn't go far enough.
Oh, no.
A gust of wind.
The weight of it. Oh, no.
A gust of wind.
Caught the flap underneath the flap.
And that's the only thing wind is measured in, gusts.
Gusts, yeah.
A gust of wind lifted the lid with such force, it smacked onto my face and broke my nose.
Really?
A full-on bingery.
My Lord. Oh, that is unfortunate.
Drag your wheelie bins, people. Do not push them.
No.
Dangerous. They're dangerous.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
So, it's obviously the American election coming up, Steve.
Is it? I've not heard anything on the news.
Yeah, it's been on the news a little bit. So my question to you, right, is...
Yes.
Have you got your phone near you there?
Yeah.
Right, get your phone out.
Yeah.
And I want you to go on your last message that you sent to anyone.
Okay.
Right? The last sentence you wrote is your slogan for Vote Steve. Okay, so I want you to do... You've got to go, Vote Steve... And then read whatever the last text is that you sent. Okay. Right. So this is for this advert was brought to you by Steve Edge for government.
Thanks, Momo. that's my slogan. Thanks, Momo. Kiss,
vote
kiss, kiss.
Steve. Thanks, Momo.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's it.
All right. Yep. I'm gonna do one as well. This is my last message. Vote Jason. I'll have a look.
Okay.
That's actually quite a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. That's quite good, yeah. Yeah, because it says that you're going to do something.
If every MP says that.
I'll have a look. Yeah.
I'll have a look.
What about this corruption that happened in the, you know, there was a big corruption thing that happened in the 90s. You know, it was awful.
I'll have a look.
What are you going to do about that? Okay. Good. This kids' school dinner thing, there's a lot of people divided on this. What are you going to do about this?
I'll have a look.
Yep, there you go. It actually
works.
I think it does work, doesn't it? Yeah, I think it does work, yeah.
It actually works. My last one to someone that wasn't my wife was hope you're all right. And that works.
Hope you're all right.
That actually works as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, you're good. You're doing well there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one to my friend yesterday was cheers for asking, which I thought would have been a really good one.
That would work.
Oh, Jason, cheers for asking.
Cheers for asking. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
I think that could work. Are you? What about if Trump got in again? Would you be fine with that? I know we're a Trump free zone usually.
I'm not surprised by anything anymore.
I would not be surprised if he got in again.
I don't get surprised by anything.
No,
I seem to remember that a lot of these big things that have happened in the last sort of 5 years. I was filming Benidorm when it was happening. So I used to watch it on the news over there. You know, Brexit and all the other things, and then go to bed and go, when the poll was sort of in the middle and go, oh, it's going to turn out like that, and then wake up the next morning and go, what's happened?
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know.
No, I don't know either. It's a mad old world.
It's a strange old world, isn't it? But yeah.
Yeah, there was a weird picture put on this morning. Some American, news anchor had posted a picture of Joe Biden, like, embracing his son, and he was, like, kissing him on the cheek and sort of having a cuddle. And this guy had sort of put, isn't this a weird way to embrace your son?
No.
Or something like that, like a weird... And you go... No, mate, that's the
not
way
in
you...
the slightest.
That's the way you cuddle your kids, you
Wasn't
moron.
There a similar thing a while back when Victoria Beckham sort of kissed one of her kids and, oh, well, it's a bit wrong. And like, no, it's not.
Yeah,
kiss a kid
on the lips. Like, grow up, you weirdo.
No.
You're weird for thinking it's weird.
I love cuddling my son so much that I'm already going, when he's about 11, he won't want to do this. I'm already like going, there's another 6 years of this...
I know.
I'm such a good cuddler. You know, it's awful.
My son's 8 and he still loves a cuddle. That's fine.
That's good.
My daughters have just started high school. We walked down a little while back and holding hands, both of them, are twin girls. And as we got near the school, they both simultaneously let
dropped.
Go.
Because the shame of...
Their hands dropped and so did my heart.
Oh, dear.
It was awful. Oh. And I was like, right, have a great day, guys. And they were like, oh, do you know... You're not going to walk us further on? I was like, no, I better go. I better shoot off.
My work here is clearly done. I am no longer needed. Enjoy the world, girls. And then you threw a smoke pellet on the ground and disappeared.
Jason
Stephen Manford on Absolute Radio.
So, Steve, you know I like to get a few questions on the emails, hypothetical questions, daft questions.
Yeah,
It could be personal questions. Maybe people need some, like an agony uncle to, who've people who live their life.
Yeah, all have lived their life. Yeah.
All have lived their life, all right. So we've got a couple this morning. If you do want to email, by the way, it's jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. You can be one of the four people who email every single week.
It's quite a select club,
yeah. Maybe we've not checked the junk. Maybe they're in the junk.
Maybe he's gone to spam or junk or something.
Probably gone to spam. Adam in Bolton says, "Hi, gents. My question to you is this. If you had to bathe in one type of food for the rest of your life, what would it be? Mine would be butterscotch angel delight."
Oh, that'd get a bit much after a bit, wouldn't it?
I think it would, yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it?
I mean, whatever it's going to be, yeah. And one type of food.
For the rest of your life? Like every time you bath in it, or do you have to stay in the bath for the rest of your life?
No, I think it just means every time you run a bath, it's that. Yeah, peas or whatever.
It has to be a food stuff. It can't just be like lemonade.
That's what his question is. Food, yeah. I'd probably go something dry, I think.
You can't have a dry bath. What, like a dry rub or something? You can't have a dry bath.
Yeah, go like cornflakes.
You're not going to get clean, though, are you?
If you can just dust yourself.
You'll come out
none
dirty.
None of it's going to clean you.
No, but it might if you were, I don't know, like a...
you think if you get out a bath of beans, you're going to be cleaner than if you get out
not
a bath of cornflakes?
No, beans is the one that no one's going for. I'm just sort of maybe a sort of, like a short rib beef stew. And then, because then you can...
like a slow cooker.
Yeah, it's all sort of falling off the bone. It's lovely. And then you just sit and you can have a little bit of that while you're...
I don't know. You want
something really... What's the thinnest food stuff?
Like Serrano ham.
Like a Japanese... like a Japanese, soup.
Oh, I'll tell you what would be good.
What?
Pancakes.
What, the batter or the pancakes? So they're cooked.
Pancakes, cooked pancakes.
Would it?
Yeah, I think it would,
So you think you rub yourself down like a chamois? Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking, because they're like cloths, aren't they? Yeah. Little cloths.
Well, maybe go with that then. Go with like poppadoms or something. Or
poppadoms.
Not poppadoms. But just something that breaks up. It's exfoliated. Not naan bread. That's too... You need a bit of friction. The sort of Chinese crackers that you get. Maybe because
prawn crackers, yeah.
Prawn crackers would rub a little bit, exfoliate a little bit of the skin.
Or what about... How about this? Yeah. I presume you're still allowed to use water at this point.
No, it's a food stuff, I think, isn't it?
Because I was thinking if you got like the wrap for a fajita, you could have it.
What, like a tortilla?
Yeah, you could have the bath and then afterwards you could just wrap it round you. You don't even need a towel. Like a massive like tortilla.
Would you fold the bottom bit under?
Yeah, over me.
Under your waist and then... So you're in, and then a giant hand would come in the window and pick you up.
That's what would happen. Massive Manford burrito.
Well, that's a...
There you go. Well, that's the sort of things we want from your daft questions. Yeah. They don't have to always be that daft. Some of them were quite scientific when we started this, but they've gradually
turned into, would you rather eat this sandwich or do that?
Do you want hands for feet or feet for hands? You're like, oh, come on, guys. We need our brains tested here. We are joined this morning by friend of the show, Kiri Pritchard-McLean. Morning, Kiri.
Morning. I absolutely love that I'm a friend of the show. Yes, please.
Friend of the show. Friend of the show. You've been on the show. You're definitely a friend of the show.
Great. Thank you.
So what you plug in? I know you've not just rung up for a chat.
I'm so glad you asked that.
You're just using me. I understand.
I wanted to chat about the Stand Up For Live comedy episode that's coming out. It's on the iPlayer on the 23rd and then goes out on BBC One. Hello, I finally made it to BBC One on the 26th.
Oh, my goodness. 26, look at that. So BBC presents Stand Up For Live comedy, a brand new six-part series recorded in six different cities across the UK with a mission to kickstart live stand-up comedy again. Airing on BBC Three weekly with a repeat on BBC One at 10:45. And are they all on the iPlayer now? People can get them?
Yes, I think ours is one of the last episodes because, interestingly, it's a really cool idea. Basically, they've got comedians hosting it from a certain part of the world. So, like, you've got Jade Adams hosting the Bristol one. Now, I, Kira Bridger-McLean, was hosting the Wales one. Very exciting.
Of course.
But you might know that it was actually filmed in Margate. Because Wales.
That's South Wales, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
South East Wales.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the north, that's it's all the same to me. England and South Wales, we've got a big divide in this country as well.
Wow, what happened there? Was that just because of COVID and whatnot?
Yeah, because basically Wales wouldn't let them in.
Fair enough.
We had to sort of recreate Wales in a roller disco in Margate, and it was wonderful.
Do you think Wales are going to give it the full trump and build a wall? It feels like it might get to that point. We've got to build a wall and we make the English pay for it.
It's kind of getting that way, yeah. We've got a fire break lockdown coming on, and I think Welsh independence is sort of gathering speed. It's a very interesting time, definitely.
Because are you living in Wales now, or are you having to live here?
For lockdown, I've gone back to Wales, and I don't think I'll move back. I'm really happy here.
Yeah, it's a lovely part of the world.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, and I do feel really at home here. And it's interesting that actually they've been a bit more, because I live in North Wales, which is very, very Welsh. You know, like most people are first language Welsh. And I thought that they would be like, oh, brilliant, we get to tell them all to go home and set fire to the caravans. But they've actually been sort of more sensible and more chill about it. I think everyone just wants everyone to stay safe. So.
Yeah, which is fair enough. It was weird listening to the Welsh Assembly talk about COVID the other day because, of course, there's not really been any new proper Welsh words for about 400 years. So they have to keep putting, you know, English words in. Proper words, is that fair to say? No, English words. English words in the middle of the Welsh. You know what I mean? Pandemic was not a word. So it's it was quite a fun thing to watch. I was like, what? Does anyone understand what's going on? It's amazing.
I know. It's really cool, actually, the way the Welsh language evolves, because you're right, it's a very, very ancient language. Mm. And so they sort of make Welsh versions. So if you go to a betting shop, underneath it will be the Welsh translation. And the Welsh translation of betting shop is BWCI, which is just bookie, but spelled in a Welsh way.
In a Welsh way. Like Ben to Quay.
I love that. That's brilliant. I love that. I remember working with Alex Jones off of The One Show, and we interviewed Quincy Jones once, who is like one quarter Welsh or something like that.
Oh, that's enough.
And he was absolutely fascinated with the Welsh language. And one of the most surrealist things was coming into a green room and her teaching Quincy Jones, the legendary Michael Jackson music producer.
All the Welsh words.
Yeah, basically the swear words.
It's the first thing you learn in any language.
Yeah, he's like, what's that? And she's going, it's pop. So we got pop ti ping is for microwave. He's like, pop ti ping? That can't be real. It's amazing. So Kimmy's going to stay with us this morning for a little while as she chats about this new show. But make sure you have a little look at that on iPlayer. Stand up for live comedy on the BBC.
Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Who was on your episode? Who did you have?
Oh, Priya Hall, who's a really great new Welsh act. One of the great things about the show is that it's kind of... You know what it's like when you're newer, they don't let you on telly.
They're not allowed on telly, the new ones.
No, but even though your 5-10 minutes, which is all that would go on, is the best it will ever be, because that's what you're gigging and, like, you know, starting to make money off. So
that's all you need.
Yeah, what's a beautiful thing is they've got loads of newer acts on. So Priya's what I would consider new, but she's absolutely amazing, and she smashed the gig. It was her first telly thing. It was brilliant.
And
Johnny Pelham, who's just a brilliant
hilarious
comic. And, yeah, he's so clever. And Vlad Illich as well. So, yeah, it was just a really strong lineup. Yeah, it was a pleasure to be on.
Fab. So that is on the iPlayer now. And are you still doing your online gig? You still doing the COVID arms?
Still doing the COVID arms.
Going
strong? Yeah. So what do we do? Every week for the first 14 weeks of lockdown. And then when lockdown eased, we went to monthly. So we're heading to about £120,000 raised for the Trussell Trust.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and we raised about just under 35 for net as well when we did the Guinness World Record. So, yes. Yeah, it's a big chunk of money. And then also, I mean, as important, if not more important to me, is putting money into the pockets of comics who are out of work.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, because it's a tricky time out there. Because you're doing your gig as well, weren't you? And
we did some online ones, yeah.
Yeah, I think you've got the same ethos of me as well, that, like, the first thing that happened when lockdown came is everyone wanted comedians to gig for free, and you're like, hold on, they've just lost all their earnings, and they don't know when they're going to get it back. So, yeah, being able to pay comedians once a month a decent wage. And also it's such a pure thing, because we don't take any fees or anything like that. I don't take a fee to host it. The people organising it don't. So all the money made goes straight from the pockets of the audience, straight into the comedians, which is like... Well,
I remember because
version.
I did your gig, and then you messaged me and said, "Hey, Jace, we had so many people in tonight, so you've earned £300. But what all the other headliners have done is donated it to the other comedians on the bill. So, what do you want to do?" Which I was like, "Oh, that sort of left me in a sticky situation."
I don't say that. I always say to people, because that's the other thing as well, is you can see people, if they take a long time to reply, there's two people who are genuinely going, like, oh, well, should it go to a food bank?
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? And I want to say, listen, you're being paid to do a job. We're already giving thousands and thousands. Like, take the money. But comedians are so used to just, like, working for free to help charities. I think they do so much charity work that I'm always like, take the money. Not you. You're doing fine. But the others.
Yeah, exactly. I was, so obviously I kept the £300. I'm not a mug.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Absolutely. The charity starts at home. That's what I always say. As you well know. So what's next for you then? So you're doing the monthly COVID Arms, and people can find out details. You've got your own website and that.
Yeah, and they've got some telly stuff coming up soon that will be coming out.
Yeah, what's that?
What have I got coming out now? Because I was really lucky, actually, that sort of September and October is quite busy for me. So, I did Richard Osman's House of Games. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah. I did it just recently, yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun. And I don't want to give anything away. But I was on it with a very good competitor. But I think I did myself proud on some of it.
Okay.
I'm so excited about that coming out. Mainly because you film it all basically in one day and get to change your outfits 5 times is quite exciting for me.
Well, you love an outfit, to be fair.
Oh, I love an outfit.
I've never seen you in anything less than 100%.
In fact, even now, as a radio recording, I'm sequined head to toe because I know that you could hear if I hadn't made the effort.
Well, so are me and Steve, to be fair.
Yeah.
So this is the first time it's ever come out, but we actually are fully sequined up. And you're writing at the moment as well. You're sat in a writer's room trying to do some topical material. How's that working out?
Oh, well, do you know what? I never write. This is why it's quite. When you came and did my gig, I was so impressed, but also really furious at how brilliant all your topical stuff was. And you just did 20 minutes on COVID and I was like, oh, God, because the thing is, I get so annoyed about writing topical stuff for my own things because I'm like, I write a really good joke and I'm like, that's going to be dead in 6 weeks. No one's going to care about that. So I'm like, what can I write that will last? But it's quite fun to be right. I love doing it. I'm really lucky. I work on Russell Howard Hour and I'm coming to the end of the series of News Jack. It's so good, yeah. But also a little part of me is like, we're going to have a series break soon. I'd love to not read the papers for a week.
Oh. Wouldn't that
just
be
have a
treat?
A week off. Yeah.
Steve loves that. You're loving the news at the moment, aren't you, Steve?
Oh, doom gloom.
every day.
The sports news is somebody's got coronavirus. The weather news is this coronavirus is going to be worse in the winter. It's just everything. Same.
Every single topic goes back to it, doesn't it?
I know. And this is the thing. I've had years of between Newsduck and Russell Howard out being like, God, I'm so sick of Trump and Brexit. I mean, if there's a little Brexit news story, it's like relief.
Yeah, leap on it.
I'd love a bit of Brexit. If there's a bit of Brexit back.
It's all about, isn't it? Just to cleanse the palate.
Well, Kiri, I hope the show goes down very well. I'm sure it will. Always a fantastic comedian. It's been a pleasure to watch you over the years just get better and better and better every time I see you. So make sure you catch her episode of Stand Up For Live Comedy on the iPlayer right now. And you can catch it on Mondays on BBC One at 10:45. My audience don't really watch BBC Three, but they will watch BBC One Monday at 10:45. Or like I said, it's on the iPlayer right now. Thanks for joining us, Kiri.
Cheers, love. Bye.
See you, my love.
Absolute Radio. Where real music
matters. So as you know, Steve, I mentioned already in the show and last week that my cleaner's off at the moment. Isolating, kids are not, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I've had to clean my own house.
Now, Do it yourself.
What's annoying is I did clean my house in April.
I know, I remember you put all pictures on Facebook.
Yeah,
I put all the an event.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, well, I just thought if I put them on Facebook,
I think you were late to a Zoom quiz. We were doing a Zoom quiz and you were late because you were cleaning under the sink in the bathroom.
That's right. I was well into it back then. That Jason could clean.
It affected the quiz. Yeah, that was the one time you did it. It sort of affected the time the quiz started.
Yeah.
It was on Facebook. So it's a big thing for you when you.
It was a big deal. And I put it on Facebook for a reason, Steve. It wasn't to show off.
No.
It wasn't to show people, you know, how good I am at cleaning. It was so that in exactly a year's time, I would get a little time hop and I would remember to clean
time
the house
to clean
again.
The house again.
Yes, that's what I thought. But let me tell you about a survey that was done this week, Steve. How often do you wash your bed sheets?
I'd say we change them about...
I mean,
once every
that, obviously.
Week. No, we do this. We do once every, I say 7 days average.
So once a week, you would strip the bed.
Yeah.
Including mattress protector?
No, not including mattress protector.
No, that stays. I agree, that stays.
What is that? Yellow stain.
Really
what is that?
Don't look. Well, don't
know what that
not
is.
Don't scratch it. Don't scratch it.
Okay.
And so you once a week. Yeah, I would say we're once a week would change our bed. Survey has found a third of Brits wash their bed sheets, by the way, not just change them, just once a year.
Once a year?
Once a year, man.
I mean,
is there any wonder COVID is spreading when there's these dirty bastards knocking about?
No. Oh, my. Once a year. That is a pit, isn't it? They just interview teenagers. Who was this survey?
Study of 2,000 people found that 30% were washing their bedding every 12 months, with experts warning the bad habit could lead to dust mites, bed bugs, fungal infections and skin irritation.
And a pandemic.
I mean, yeah. The results didn't get much better when participants were quizzed over how often they cleaned their underwear, Steve.
Oh, no, not the same
significant
people.
Don't ask those. Once you've asked them that first question, move on.
You are barred from any cleaning-related questions. Go away. I'm going to ask somebody else.
Worryingly,
how often do you change your pants?
Worryingly, 1 in 10 men fessed up to only washing their underpants after 10 uses.
10 uses?
Compared to 3% of women. But thankfully, 80% of people said they washed them every single day after every use.
Yeah.
When it comes to wearing jeans, 18% of people said they wash them annually.
Oh, no, you can't.
No.
I mean, jeans aren't every week, but they're not annually.
Not annually. I'll wear mine until I get something on them.
Yeah.
I
need to wash these. There's egg on them. Yeah. Or there's a smell now. What is that smell? Oh, it's my
I
jeans.
Don't know. Yeah,
I need to clean this. Yeah, that's when you clean jeans.
But Brits are more regimental when it comes to bathroom towels, as 40% of people said they wash them after every use. Interestingly,
you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if you'd
be filthy if you just got out of bed.
Bed's full of mites, yeah. Interestingly, millennials were found to be the cleanest generation, while those over the age of 65 had the worst habits.
That's
interesting, isn't it?
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. But then again, the millennials will have had those parents who have been like extra careful with children getting dirty and, you know, cleaning up after every meal.
Yeah, and then the ones above were like, a bit of dirt's good for you. That 65
you'll be
plus,
fine.
That's not like, isn't it? You'll be fine. Just wash
it
every year.
You'll be fine. I mean, don't forget, that was a generation of people who used to wash their children's face with spit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I did that to my son the other day for the first time ever.
How did he react?
Well, he was just on the way to school and I noticed he had a little bit of, like, just a bit of stuff and I was like, I need to... And I didn't have a hanky or anything, so I licked my finger and he went, ugh! And he's like four. And I thought you had to be taught that certain things were horrible, but he knew straight away, instinctively, me licking my finger and rubbing his face is not a good thing to
do. It's disgusting, yeah.
He's actually sat next to me now because there's no one to look after him, so he's now next to me on the iPad.
He can confirm that.
How? Remember when I licked my finger and rubbed your spit off your face the other day?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I want to watch this.
Just as well, because that's what you're going to have to do.
This is Absolute Radio,
where real music matters. What have you got planned for the rest of the day, Steve?
What am I doing today? I think we're going to build a train track. That'll be a bit different. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's the plan. We can't do anything else. Every day. Literally can't do anything else. We build a train track, we put the train track away, we build the train track, we trip over the train track, and then we put it away. Yeah.
Busy, busy, busy. I like
it. All busy.
I am, what am I doing? I'm going to grab dinner before all the pubs stop serving substantial meals.
Oh, so, God. Yeah,
that's me. So enjoy the rest of your Sunday with your train tracks and enjoy the rest of your Sunday, whatever you get up to. And I will see you bright and early next Sunday morning on Absolute Radio.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.